Office hours are now open. Welcome to the show where we answer everyday questions about life and work in Luxembourg by talking to business owners, employees, entrepreneurs and experts. Send me your feedback to adam.petersen@rtl.lu or on LinkedIn. But for now, on to the show. In Pakistan, 711 fatalities, more than 200 people missing in flash floods linked to climate change. In Europe, 65% of this year's 2,300 heat-related deaths have been attributed to human-induced climate change, and a record 1 million hectares have been burned by wildfires. Everyone I talk to agrees that the planet is getting hotter, but not everyone knows what to do about it, and if there is actually anything we can do to help. So on today's episode of Office Hours, I want to pose that question. How can we, as citizens and consumers, do something to help? To help me answer this question and more, I have three guests. I have Adriana Gonzalez, co-founder and CEO of EcoCitizen. I have Andrew Ferrone, director at the Ministry of Environment, Climate and Biodiversity, and Martin Bosch, CEO and owner of EcoFluent. So I think amongst these guests, we're going to have it covered, but let's find out a bit about your backgrounds and what you do. So Andrew, you're in the government. What's your role?
So actually, I'm a civil servant working at the Ministry of Environment, Climate and Biodiversity right now.
So you're not linked to a political party?
I'm not linked to a political party. No, the minister is Serge Wilmes, so he's the political leader of our ministry. So we have different directorate. My directorate, where I'm the director of, is actually working on European and international affairs. All the international discussions we have, because obviously climate change is a global issue, so we need global solutions. Like, for example, the famous COPs that are happening each year. That's one of the topics that I'm covering in our directorate.
Okay, so you don't cover things like the activity at the commune level with...
Not in my everyday work.
Okay, and your background is?
As a background, I'm actually a scientist, a climatologist, and since now approximately 9 years, I changed to the civil service.
Great, so that's kind of the big picture level. So I want to start taking steps down towards the more local level. And Adriana, EcoCitizen, tell me a bit about EcoCitizen. What does it do?
So at EcoCitizen, we want to transform things around us based on data, based on science, on the most recent knowledge available to make some real impact around climate and nature.
Okay. And you're a scientist as well?
I'm an engineer and I have a master's degree in renewable energy physics.
And originally from?
Originally from Costa Rica.
So EcoCitizen, who do you generally work with?
So we support governments. These can be high level, ministerial level, but we also work with local communities. So we cover a wide range of actors, but we also can support like companies, corporates, NGOs, for example, that are willing to go further in their sustainability and climate change strategies.
Great. So that takes me to the third guest. So Martin, you lead EcoFluent. So tell me more about EcoFluent.
EcoFluent is an SRL, SIS, a Société d'Impact Sociétal, which you can compare to a social company, but we are not a non-profit company, but a not-for-profit.
Okay.
We cannot pay benefit to the owners of the company. It has to be reintroduced into the company or into donations or other actions. I think it's very important because Luxembourg is the only country that has this legal situation for companies. We have to provide reports to the ministry we would depend on, and then only then we get this. It's more than a certification.
Like accreditation?
Accreditation, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So when you have that accreditation, what do you use it for?
We don't do our business for the owners of the company, but for society. So we need to have societal impact or an environmental impact. And this is written down in the statutes of the company. Yeah.
And what's the service you provide?
I provide service for municipalities and companies. We help to change into responsible consumption.
So is that the circular economy?
It's even bigger a subject, but responsible consumption is part of the circular economy thought.
Yeah, so the circular economy, in simple words, would that be like zero waste? Is that what we're aiming towards?
Responsible consumption is the way to go towards zero waste, yes.
Yeah. I want to get into a couple of quick questions. And that point around consumption and the economy, Is the tension there? Do you work closely with the other departments to make sure when you're delivering your goals, it's not affecting the Ministry of the Economy, for example?
Yes, environmental questions in general and climate change in particular is a whole government approach. So we need to have all the actors on board. Economy is one. Finance ministry is another one. Ministry of Agriculture is also one which we are working together with a lot. And I would not really call it a tension, because actually, if you look at the solution space, it's actually an opportunity for the economy. Of course, the transition, there are changes which will come. For example, if we look at the way we will have transport in the future. There is now a new cars being developed. There will be the infrastructure which we need to recharge the electric cars. We have the public transport, which is going to be improved. So actually, for example, we're also looking for the moment to electrify all the buses. So there is actually an opportunity for the economy there.
Yeah, I see that there's a bit of a tension in the whole working from home. The more people work from home, they then have lunch at home and they're not out in the restaurant spending money.
Sure, there are certainly also tensions that are existing, but I mean also working from home is a solution. When we talk about environment or climate change, it's very rare that we have a silver bullet. So it is always small steps which work together to make a whole. So that's why we always like to talk about the transition, because it's really a whole puzzle that we need to get together for the transition to happen.
It is a puzzle, and I don't always know the answers. And I've primed Adriana with a few questions. You talked about the charging network. So I have an argument with my father all the time where he says, Adam, you think you care about the environment, but you've got a diesel car. And I said, well, it's 10 years old. I'm not consuming. Martin says we should reduce consumption. Mm-hmm. And he's on his second electric car. Which is best for the environment? Is it to keep your old diesel car that I've got and not consume? Or is it to move to an electric car on a 2-year lease that you change every 2-3 years?
As Andrew just mentioned, what makes climate change topic so complicated and is the fact that it's not one single answer and there's no extremes. This is not the correct approach. So when you talk about diesel car or EV, for example, I'll give you my own example. As an engineer, I've been doing my research. There's a whole thing called life cycle assessment. So this is a discipline that can give us some hints regarding these decisions. So I decided to keep my old diesel for longer, because I only use it to go for shopping, supermarket, maybe once a week, max twice a week. And I reduce all the other movements by car, and I decide to go by public transport. If you are buying an electric vehicle and changing it every 2 years, that means much more emissions than keeping your old diesel, because that entails mining for the batteries, that entails all the manufacturing process. It's a long way to put that car into a consumer's house.
Yeah. Do we know what the payback is in terms of how long it takes to pay back on a new electric car environmental footprint?
It's quite tricky to have one single answer for this as well. I'm sorry for that, because it depends on the electricity. If there is electricity coming from renewables, then that's another discussion. If that electricity is coming from fossil fuels, then it changes a lot. And how you use the car as well, how many kilometers. So there are many variables that has to be considered into the matrix. So it's unfortunately not so simple.
No easy answers. Hopefully through the episode, we are going to find a couple of easy answers.
If you are considering changing your car, it is clear today that the electric vehicle is the best solution compared to fossil vehicles, also to hybrid. This is clear today. But I fully agree that, of course, if you don't need to change, or if you change it every 2 years, it also doesn't make sense. So
I know there are other guidances out there. What is helpful to help people make a decision? When you buy a new fridge or a freezer or a TV, it has an energy efficiency. Are they worth paying attention to?
I would say yes. Maybe it's not the only parameter to consider, but I think the letters are certifications to show what energy level they are using. And it's the same with the car. If you have an old fridge and it's broken and you can't repair it, then I would say, yes, switch it to a very high level energy efficient one.
Okay.
But if you have a fridge that is a couple of years old and something not working anymore, try to repair it first.
Yeah. Keep for longer, and when you do upgrade, go for the best.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, one thing I was looking around, so there's different certifications companies have, and there's something called B Corp, which is Benefit Corporation. Now, we had a question into the breakfast show, which is drinking beer bad for the environment? And I was having a look, and Rambourne Cider, our very own Luxembourgish cider, has the B Corp certification. Does that mean that Rambourne is environmentally better than other companies?
I don't have now a complete analysis of Rambourne's. Often what matters is what you eat or what you drink compared to where it comes from. So, of course, local consumption like Rambourne is great because you are supporting the local farmers. They are actually also using, as far as I know, apples that have anyway fallen down. So it's more or less a waste that actually they are using to produce their ciders and their other drinks. So I would say, without having looked at the detail, they are quite environmental friendly. But in the end, what really counts is what you eat or what you drink. So it's not where it comes from. And what is always on the top there is everything which is related to dairy cows, so milk and beef. Those are the ones that have the highest emissions. So, for example, if you have local beef, the footprint would be definitely higher than, for example, an avocado coming from Australia.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's important to know. So it is much less on eating or drinking local, but really what matters is what you eat and what you drink. And the champion, if I can say it like this, for the food consumption is definitely beef.
So the champion being...
Yeah.
The loser.
Yeah, in this case, the champion to avoid. Agree. Yeah. It's not always good to be the champion.
This is also a tricky one, sorry about that, because it includes the variable of behavioral change and cultural change. For many people, eating beef, it's a sign of a good life, stability, and it's a sign of a privilege that maybe they consume once a week or once a month. So it all depends. I know for my work experience already, it's hard for us as professionals in the field to tell people just go vegan, because it's a shock in the whole mentality of people and behavior. So even reducing their consumption of meat-based products, it's great.
There's one bit I don't get, because I used to live in Azerbaijan and we would go camping in the desert and you'd see the shepherds with sheep and you think there's no grass here. And they would just be effectively harvesting thorns in the desert. And I think, well, actually, that sheep's a good way of capturing that energy on unfarmable land. And we go to France quite a bit. And there in the mountains, you get you get to the top of a mountain, there's a cow there. You wouldn't get crops on that land. So the cows in the mountains, not good as well? Are they a bad idea?
It all depends actually on the intensity of the farming. And the problem here in Europe and also here in Luxembourg is that the intensity is actually too high. So that's why beef has actually such a high footprint. So going into much less intensive way, first growing the cattle and then also consuming it afterwards, is actually the way to go.
Changing tack a little bit, where are we in solar panels in Luxembourg?
From the government side, we are clearly launching a lot of initiative to push solar panels. So you have, of course, subsidies.
So the subsidies I saw are available to the end of this year. Are they going to be extended?
I mean,
you're not allowed to say.
Well, I can't pronounce clearly for the government at this point, of course, but of course the idea is to continue this. They want to continue. I can't say exactly at which level they will continue, because they always make an analysis, how much they cost, how much they are, and so on. There might be changes coming. I can't say this at this moment, but definitely the subsidies are going to continue. What we are even looking at, we understood that one of the points that hinders people to actually invest into PV is the initial invest, because for the moment they still need to put the whole amount of money onto the table and then they get back some the subsidies from the government. So we are actually looking at if the private person who is investing only needs to pay the part that will be for the person later on, so that you don't need to put the whole amount. A bit like at the doctors, when you go today, you just pay the difference that you actually need to pay. You don't need to pay the whole amount and then get the money back later.
Depends on which doctor, but yes.
Yes, for the moment, yes.
If people wanted to go, because I looked at this a couple of years ago, I got lost with all the paperwork and all the different levels of subsidies. Hopefully you're making it simpler. Yeah. Where should people go to have a look at that if they want to?
Actually, if you go to the site of Climat Agence, you have first a simulator, which allows you online to look at what you get from the government, what you get from your municipalities for photovoltaic, for other subsidies, so also for cars, for bikes, for renovating your house, making it more efficient. So you have first a simulator, online simulator. Otherwise, your next step would be to call them. So they give already on the phone some ideas. Or what you can even do, you can even ask them to come to your house, and then they will make an analysis with you. What makes sense in your house? Does it make sense to put PV? How long do you need to make it profitable? Better to auto-consume? Is it better to put it into the grid or so on? So these are all discussions they will have.
That visit's free?
That visit is free, yes.
Okay, and you can get that visit from Climat Agence.
Climat Agence,
okay,
yes,
I'm going to put the links to that in the show notes for sure. Okay, what we're going to do, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to push through some of the questions so you can get more advice for the listeners. The EU Green Deal contains 154 targets spanning key thematic areas, but only 32 are on track. So we're going to need to do something about it. In part one, we met with Andrew, Adriana and Martin, and in part two, we'll work out what we can do in the face of the climate crisis. We're not on track on the EU Green Deal, so are we going to have to adapt as well?
Absolutely. We discussed at the United Nations, it's been discussions for many, many years around the COPs, the Conference of the Parties, where countries decide what to do. And there are two main discussions in a very simple manner. So mitigation, how to reduce emissions, and adaptation. What can we do to face climate consequences?
So what can we do as individuals and consumers and listeners?
So we need to prepare for more heat waves here in Europe. How we build, how we design our neighborhoods. We need more trees to keep the heat out of the houses, out of the public spaces. If you go to Place Guillaume in the city center during the heat wave, the temperature there was around 45, 50 degrees, and nobody could walk there because it's just too hot. So we need to start making these adaptation measures at home. We need to put shades to know when is the moment of the day to close shutters, to close windows? How are we going to build in the future? Because it's not going to be as cold.
So what are some of the more practical tips that individuals could do? Because I can't go and change Place Guillaume. They've just spent a year building it, right? So I can't influence that. What can I influence as an individual? That's what I want to know.
So more greenery around the houses, okay. Definitely. Mm-hmm. It sounds very simple, but it has science behind. So it's called nature-based solutions. How can we use nature to help us? And how can we learn from nature as well? There are some simple solutions as well. I think it's going to be more available in the market. For example, painting, special painting based on algae that you can just put around the house in the walls, and it will reduce around 2 degrees of the house. So these simple solutions will become more available.
Okay, I hope they're not going to be too pricey. The problem is if we get this fancy paint that cools the house, someone's going to be making too much money.
Yeah, but as Adriana is saying, I think planting more green is very important. A lot of people have the house with a big stone garden in their front yard, and there are already a lot of municipalities trying to work against those stone gardens. People need to grow green again. Any plants will help, and the higher the better. So maybe might be trees, but that can also be bushes.
And I guess replacing with perfect lawns that require watering all the time is not going to help, right?
I think a perfect lawn is like a green painted pavement. Ecologically, I think that's not.
Bring the forest, try and bring the besh into your house a bit more, is what, or into your area.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. You just have to go and walk in a forest during a heat wave and you'll feel completely different.
Yes. So I want to hit some quick fire questions then people face every day when they go to the supermarket. Coke, drink from cans or plastic bottles?
Cans.
Because?
Because aluminium can be recycled indefinitely. With plastic, we're talking about fossil fuel, and only around 9% of the world plastic is being recycled.
Do we know the number in Luxembourg with the Varilux recycling?
I don't have the number now on top of my head. We are not that bad in recycling, so Varilux is helping us definitely to increase our recycling. But also there is still room for improvement. Often distinction between the different kind of recycling is not yet done in the best way, and then it's difficult to recycle them afterwards. But just on the caregiver, I can have one question. Of course, first you should drink water, ideally tap water. Then you don't have plastics and aluminium. That's the best.
Absolutely. Right there. What I want to say about the recycling, a big issue is that we often don't know how to separate the waste correctly. So we have almost 50% of what we put in our waste could be recycled as paper, or could be in the Velolux bag or any other kind of recycling material.
Keep going on the same theme. Beer then. Cans or glass bottles? Both can be recycled, can't they?
If on the glass bottle it's a deposit system, then I would opt for the glass, because then it's not destroyed. It's going to be washed and reused.
Some supermarkets, you get 10 cents back when you return the beer bottle. Clothes. I hear about clothes mountains that people are stuck with. What should you do with your clothes?
Stop buying that much clothes. First step, we don't need this many clothes. In the world, we already have produced for 3 generations, I think, worth of clothing. So we don't even need to produce more. You don't need to buy this much.
One piece of advice someone gave me, I'm interested in your opinion, is when you're buying birthday presents, buy experiences, not gifts, because the experiences actually stay with people longer.
Absolutely, yeah.
100%.
I try to do that as often as possible.
So paper recycling. Recycle, compost, where should it go?
Paper should be recycled.
That's better than composting it.
If you would put every paper on the compost, that would just be too much paper. And you don't know what other chemicals are in this paper. So it's better to get it into a recycling facility for paper. They know how to process it. But paper is also not unlimited recyclable.
Really? So it can only go a few times.
A few cycles. I think you know the numbers better, but I think it's 7 times. Yes, 7 times you can only recycle paper. And because it's from wood, and wood has fibers, and it's always cut down. So then at the end, it's too short to produce paper again.
And to add on that, landfill, absolutely not, because paper breaks down into methane, and that is worst contributors to climate change.
Worst greenhouse gas, so the molecules keep the heat more than carbon dioxide. Yes. I used to be a scientist one day as well. And washing dishes. Hand wash, put in the dishwasher?
Depends.
Put in the dishwasher, but don't let it run halfway. Fill it up until it's full, and then run a dishwasher, because the dishwasher uses less water than you would use.
Less water with the dishwasher. Interesting.
Yes. Just remember to put it into the eco cycle to make it work.
Yes, I was listening to a podcast with Malcolm Gladwell talking about detergent for washing your clothes, and all these people coming out with eco detergents. And his message was, no, wash it at 30 degrees. That makes the difference.
Lower temperatures, there's also some alternatives now to detergent. So you can use sheets that are free of microplastics as well, because when you put the clothes in your wash, it will give a lot of microplastics to the environment. And first of all, avoid buying fossil fuels in your clothes. Less polyester, more natural materials, natural fibers, to avoid this environmental impact.
If I may come in on the recycling part, just one message I also would like to come over, because that was quite interesting from the Observatory of Climate Policy in Luxembourg. They made a survey in Luxembourg where they asked actually people, what do you think is most impactful on our everyday life compared to what you can do as an individual? And recycling came out as that people think is the most impactful, but based on the numbers, for climate change is actually one which has the least impact.
So which has the most?
The most impact here in Luxembourg is definitely the car.
Okay.
So the car is our biggest emitter here in Luxembourg, also on a consumption basis. Switching to public transport, or as we said at the very beginning, switching to an electric cars if you buy a new one, that's really what reduces your footprint most. Then next comes actually the way we are consuming, so our dietary changes and so on. That's the second one. Traveling abroad, the plane is also a big emitter in Luxembourg. But recycling is at the very end, but many people think that it is at the very top. So that's important to know. But still, it's good to do it. I don't say not to do it, but it doesn't have a big impact on climate change.
The biggest part, the car, yes. And then another important part is also housing.
Yes.
Due to heating the house.
So tell me more about that. Is that people have it too hot or...?
No,
or it's the way the mechanism,
it's the house,
by the way.
Houses that are not isolated use too much heat. Too much heating is needed to get it comfortable at a comfortable degree inside. So, I think the government also gives subsidies to isolate the houses, but then we come to what materials do we use? And there is a lot of fossil fuel based isolation. So we need to switch to more natural based isolations like wood fibers. I must say I've experienced that myself, and it's really very comfortable having a wood fiber isolation, because in summer it also keeps the house very cool. Whereas other isolations, they make it like a sauna because the heat gets inside, but it doesn't get out anymore.
So we're drawing to a close. One question I want to finish on is, have we got a chance at recovering this? Do you think we're on the right path? Are you an optimist or a pessimist?
Ooh, good question. That depends a little bit on the day, I must say. If I'm with so many people working on a transition, I'm more optimistic. But sometimes it's also seeing what happens in the world. It is very difficult to believe that together we will get to it. But yeah, I wouldn't do my job if I wouldn't still be a little bit more optimistic.
An absolute optimist, but with my feet on the ground.
Yes, I'm also optimistic. I still think we can limit climate change to close to 1.5 degree. But if we don't mitigate at the same time, so reduce the emissions of CO2, we are not going to be able to adapt to some of the changes that are coming. Because things are starting to change. It is too slow. Fully agree with that. And we have a lot of way to do. But things are starting to change also in the economic world. And that's actually where it is important. Not all the solutions are perfect, but there are many solutions out there. And I think that's also an important message. We said previously, there is no silver bullet. So it is a puzzle. But all the pieces of the puzzles are available. We need to put them into action.
When we talk about climate solutions and all what we've been saying, there are many other co-benefits that comes with this. So more walkable cities where you can go less with your car will improve your health, your mental health, you build more connections, you'll breathe less pollution, your children will be safer because there will be less cars around. It's a whole range of good things that comes with this as well.
That's a good note, I think, to finish on. I think we have to be optimistic. We have to do something for our own mental health and know that we're trying our best. The big messages I think I got was, number one is the car. Use the car less, wait as long as you can before you upgrade, and then upgrade to the best quality. And then all those small little things do make a difference. Try and consume less, give experiences, and then we will get there. So thank you very much for coming in. If people want to get in contact, how would they do that?
They can find me on my website, www.ecofluent.lu, and contact me by mail.
I'm more than happy to catch up with whoever is listening to this by my LinkedIn account, Adriana Gonzalez, also our website, ecocitizen.lu.
Same LinkedIn or email address, you can find it on the internet.
Perfect. So thank you very much, and thank you to the listeners.